This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:15 tonight, Nats pregame at that time. As is the case with our local football team's defense, there are times in life when we see our loved ones struggle, especially as they get older. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori and Murad can guide you through the process of managing health care or financial power of attorney, or even securing a guardianship or conservatorship. Is that the word, Danny? Conservatorship?
I think that's the right word.
I'm going to restart that one.
It's one of those that I don't like reading, and yeah. I'm glad you have
to
do that
one. I might tweak this one.
Yeah.
For a family member, schedule a free consultation with their elder law and estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them GND sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Couple of news and notes from around sports. We just talked about the Mets and the Braves getting postponed. They'll have the Monday doubleheader on the precipice of the playoffs, so that could be ultra damaging to one or both of those two teams, which is just a shame
to
see. That's the big news out of Major League Baseball. In the NFL, Josh Allen had to clarify some comments today that were perceived as a dig at his ex-teammates. Have you seen this story at all?
I didn't see that, no.
So Wednesday came out today. He said his recent positive comments toward his current teammates were not digs or in any way directed at former teammates. Some of what Allen said in his postgame news conference following a 37-point win over Jacksonville was perceived by some to be a shot at Stephon Diggs. Allen's clarifying the remarks came in response to a question about how encouraging it is to see the team embrace the offense's everybody eats philosophy. I know there's a lot of people talking out there again. I'm not trying to tear down anybody, Allen said on Wednesday. I've loved everybody that I've played with, and you don't have to tear other people down to build each other up. Sounds like he just talked about the fact that his receivers were all kind of buying into the offense, that doesn't have to be about you, that if somebody else is making the plays, that's okay. And that has been a real focal point for what they've done, and probably correctly people said, that wasn't the way that it used to be.
Right, remember that whole Wizards, like, now everybody eats and everybody shares, and everyone was kind of like, well, who are you talking about? What did you guys mean? So it sounds like people interpreted it that way.
But I don't think he was thinking about Stephon Diggs when he said it. I really don't. I don't think he was trying to take a shot at him. But it's a reality that Stephon Diggs is a diva wide receiver. I like him. He went to Maryland. He's a Terp. But he had problems in Minnesota. He had problems in Buffalo. Now he's on to Houston. Like, this is what he has done. And he's yelled at Josh Allen in every playoff loss on the sideline, screaming about not getting touches. So he said that's the beauty of it when guys get to buy into this and really understand, like, I might not get the ball four or five times thrown to me a game, but the one or two times I do, I'm going to have opportunities to be in the end zone. He talked about how fun it is basically distributing. This is definitely a result of Stephon Diggs not being there anymore. I don't think he was taking a shot at him, but you've got younger, lesser paid, less established receivers, and I'm sure as a quarterback, when you don't have the pressure to just force the ball to Diggs, there is something enjoyable about that.
Yeah, it all comes across. I don't necessarily take it as a shot, right? But you almost inadvertently do it, where it's like, I'm so happy with my wife. It's not like, you know, she doesn't nag at me all the time. If your ex-girlfriend was known for nagging or something, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, I know what it's like in other relationships. Mine's really good.
Yeah, mine's great.
The Browns have a quarterback also who's said some things he may have to answer for. Deshaun Watson says he's not seeking more designed quarterback run plays. This is one of those things where when you're playing as badly as he is, you can't do anything right. And probably every comment you make will be taken either out of context or worse than it should have been. But I do find this to be a mistake by Watson. So he was asked Wednesday whether he wanted more design runs to try to help get the running game going. Is that a way maybe that Cleveland could start running the ball better? They've been bottom 5-7 in the league after every single one of the three games so far rushing the football. He said, I'm not a running back. Went on to say, I'm not going in there to ask them for more design runs. If I don't have to run, I'm not going to run. I'm not trying to take any hits. I'm not a running quarterback. I can make things happen, but I'm not trying to run. I'm not a running back. It's not my specialty. They signed me to throw the ball, make decisions, be a quarterback, not a runner. The Browns 24th in the NFL in rushing yards, averaging about 95 yards per game. Their offense just 3.8 yards per play. And the idea is maybe if Watson jump-started them using some of that athleticism, it could help them. Just doesn't sound great when he hasn't played well, the team isn't playing well, and he's basically turning the valve off on a possible solution.
I'd imagine if I was a fan, that wouldn't make me very pleased.
But because you already are mad at him, right?
Well, it's in other words, here's how it sounds. I'm not willing to do whatever it takes to get this going. I understand his point. His point is basically, that's not what we should be majoring in.
Well, there's also something, too. I covered Robert Griffin, and he hated the notion of being a running quarterback. We get this sometimes with Jaden Daniels, frankly. Like, people will call up and yell at me for calling him a running quarterback. He ran for 1,000 yards in college. He had a 16-carry game already in his three games in the NFL. I hate to tell you, it's not a pejorative. You may take it that way. I don't know why people bristle at this, but this notion of running quarterback just gets under people's skin and bothers them for some reason. Deshaun Watson traditionally really hasn't been one, but this idea for Griffin, it was like this non-starter. I remember one time even in a text exchange where he was like, I don't like comparisons. I don't remember who it was at the time. Maybe Russell Wilson. He's like, I think the comparison should be Aaron Rodgers. You know, in terms of what he saw himself as. And I think Watson similarly is going, I'm not a running quarterback. Leave me alone.
Well, you know what it reminds me of is NBA stars not wanting to do the NBA dunk contest, right? Where it's like, I'm more than a dunker. Where it's like, it's okay. Dunking's pretty cool. I'm entertained at home. I'm clapping like a seal. But they want to, no, my game is so much better than that. And it became this thing that you weren't cool if you were doing that. I think there's a similar kind of stigma to it. But if I'm a fan, here's how that reads to me. We stink, and I'm not going to do everything I can to fix it. I know wasn't his point, but that's how it would read. Now, not having Nick Chubb, I think, is going to hurt your running game. You're used to, if you're in Cleveland, we couldn't do much, but we could sure as bleep run the ball. It was downhill, thunder and thunder with Chubb and with Kareem Hunt. And our running game was not the issue for a while. Now that it is, they don't know what to do with their hands.
Deshaun Watson in an offense led by a 2-time NFL Coach of the Year over the last 4 years. Think about that, Kevin Stefanski. 1-2, the Browns, with Watson 57% of his passes complete, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. It's just been a really tough go of it. He had his best statistical game against the Giants this past week in that he had 2 touchdowns, no picks. But even in that game, it was 57% complete, only 5.3 yards per attempt. Oh, my God, that's disgusting. I mean, his yards per attempt, 4.8 for the year.
Gross.
That's a bad offense. It's not happening.
No.
It just seems like he's not snapping out of what we thought maybe, oh, it's going to take him a while. He missed a year. This is just what he is. This is now year three of this. He was not as good as Brissett 2 years ago. He was not as good as Flacco last year. And there's going to be a time this year maybe where Jameis Winston outplays him.
We're here. This is not where they thought they were going. I mean, listen, the sitting out for as long as he did and – I'm not here to legislate the why or the how. I'm just saying the NFL allowed him to play. Well, there's a whole big situation.
Oh, okay.
The NFL is allowing him to play. So we're just going for that. So based on the rules, he sat out and didn't play for a long time. The thought was, okay, it's rust. He'll be back to at least a shell of what he was. And he hasn't come close. He's been a disaster.
What a terrible,
on the field. Yeah.
Terrible trade and a terrible, terrible contract.
Yeah, it's the contract to me that's the worst. The trade I get taking moonshots. I'd have done it. I'd have taken.
I remember you were all in.
Any chance to have one? No one. Everyone is thinking wrong. One shouldn't be available. It turns out it wasn't. He's terrible. But the whole point is, I will sell. I'll sell that chair. I'll stand for the rest of my life in order to get a quarterback.
You,
and
you
we
might
have one.
Finally
now.
Gotten one.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I'm excited.
Speaking of maybe landing a quarterback who could be the guy, Jaden Daniels today named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week, not the Rookie of the Week, but the Player of the Week for his exploits in prime time. First Washington player to win the NFC Player of the Week award offensively since Adrian Peterson did it in 2018. AP, that must have been that Eagles game, I would think, when he had the 90-yard touchdown run. He had a big game against the Giants as well. But Adrian Peterson, Week 8, 2018, the last guy to do it. Daniel's the first quarterback for this team to get this honor since Kirko in 2017. And the first Washington rookie to do it since who else? Bob Thrizzle Sizzle. Three sticks 12 years ago.
Yeah, well deserved. The other big quarterback performances, either, you know, Dak Prescott threw for a bunch of yards in a loss, and, you know, the other guys were AFC guys. Joe Burrow against somebody, I can't remember who, threw for 324 and three, and Josh Allen was incredible on Monday Night Football as well against the Yags.
How impressive was Joe Burrow, by the way?
Very.
I know it was a loss.
They were mad at him around us. They're ticked off.
Oh, like, well, they were mad at every incompletion because they had no margin for error.
That dude is so smooth.
They were 0-2 and chasing the game, and the Commanders scored every time, and the Bengals had to also. Now, luckily for them, they never punted, but they missed a field goal, and that basically ended up proving to be the difference because they had to go for two subsequently. And that was kind of the ball game was the one missed kick by Evan Money McPherson.
He is really impressive. Talking about Burrow, it just has this – there's an ease to him throwing where I'm like, these are – difficult. Some of these are difficult throws.
Yeah,
and he's just sort of, oh, I'm gonna sanitize this ball, and it's just without much oomph to it. You know, without like him like doing the Dak Prescott hip swizzle thing or whatever. Just kind of flicks it, and it goes exactly where it's supposed to go.
He's special.
He's something.
All right, let's get to your Nats starting lineups and pitching matchups for tonight. The Royals are in town.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
The lineup's presented by The Window Man. Since 1989, The Window Man's been the educational window company. Get your free, no pressure, in-home estimate at thewindowman.com or at their Fairfax showroom.
Opposite Michael Lorenzen on the mound for the Nationals, DJ Hurst, do-do-do-do-do-do, DJ Hurst, do-do-do-do-do, DJ Hurst. Batting first to right field, DJ, I'm sure it's DJ, Dylan Cruz.
DJ Cruz.
The first, what if they're all DJ? Cruz, do-do-do-do-do, DJ Cruz, do-do-do-do-do, DJ Cruz. He's a left, right-handed right fielder pitcher. Batting second in left field, D. James Wood. Batting third, your DH, Luis Garcia Jr. Batting fourth at second, Miss Jose Penna. Batting fifth at first base, Joey Gallo. Batting sixth at third base, Ildemar Vargas. Batting seventh, doing the catching, Drew Millis. Hitting eighth in center field, your guy, my guy, our guy, that's Jacob Young. Batting ninth, that is Nassim Nunez at shortstop. And that is a late season September lineup for your Nationals.
Certainly is. The Nats are 26-23, playing 5:30 baseball at home since June 7th. After opening the season just 10-17 at Nats Park, things have looked up down the stretch. Washington's 36 wins at home this season, the most since their 2019 World Series campaign when they went 50-31 at home. The Nats pitching staff has worked to a 2.31 ERA, 36 punchies, and a 189 opponent average over the last four games. They have been throwing the ball very well. The lineup is very cold, though. They got to start scoring some runs. Let's get to your game day weather ahead of Nats baseball with our show meteorologist, Darris Dameron.
Yes, it is 73 degrees and cloudy outside. Could be some periods of rain tonight, but should not be enough to cause any kind of postponement or cancellation of the game. Let's play ball.
Today's game day weather presented by Pepco. Storm season's here. We know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. Danny, it'll be your first time spending an evening in your home in several days.
My feet is up. We're going to relax tonight.
You're not going to go shoot some basketball?
Too wet outside. It's gross, man.
Pickleball?
No, too gross to do. We're going to be indoors, probably rough housing with my boys.
All right, very good. For Danny Rui, I'm Grant Paulson saying so long. Big thanks to Darius and Ryan for the hard work behind the scenes as always. Thank everybody for listening. We are back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Till tomorrow, Vargas.
Thank you for coming.